Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. All right, we have two background notes for today. Background note number one has to do with Paul's statement here in verse 3 that he is in chains. Remember that Paul is a prisoner when he writes the letter to the Colossians. That's why Colossians is called one of the prison epistles. We had that in our introductory studies. And this was during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. This would be in the early 60s AD. It wasn't a dungeon. That came later in his second Roman imprisonment. This was a condition of house arrest. You read about it in Acts chapter 28, the last few verses of the book of Acts, this situation of house arrest. Paul rented his own house, but he was under arrest. He could have people in. He could preach there. He could write letters. He could send his associates on missionary travels and so forth. But he was chained to a Roman guard. He was a prisoner. At all times, he was chained to a Roman guard. So he was in chains. Now, the second background note has to do with this phrase here in verse 6, seasoned with salt. What does that mean? Our speech should be seasoned with salt. Today, we use salt to flavor our food. So you might think that this means to flavor our speech so that our talk would not be blah or boring, something like that. Have your speech seasoned with salt. No, that's not the idea. In that day, salt was used as a preservative. They did not have refrigeration, and salt was needed and used to preserve food from decay. In the same way, our speech as Christians should help prevent the spread of moral decay in our culture. That's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 13:5, "You are the salt of the earth." So wherever we are, on the job, in the community, in school, wherever, our lives and especially our speech should help limit the continual spread of moral decay that's all around us. Each one of us should be a grain of salt. So that's what that means, seasoned with salt. Now let's move on to our doctrinal point for today. And here it is. We should be concerned about outsiders. All right? We should be concerned about outsiders. Now the term outsider used in verse 5 here refers to unbelievers. They're called outsiders because they're outside the family of God, they're outside the church, they're outside the kingdom. Now let's remember the structure for this practical half of the book of Colossians, beginning in chapter 3. Remember we said we should think of concentric circles or rings like a target? And we label this diagram making Christ supreme and all-sufficient, because that is the theme of the book of Colossians, the all-supremacy of Christ and the all-sufficiency of Christ. Now, if we would make Christ supreme in our lives, if we would make him all-sufficient in our lives, we're going to get real practical now. We start with the inner circle, all right? We start with the matter of practicing the biblical method of gaining victory over sin in our personal lives. That's verses 1 through 3. Then we begin to move out to the next ring or next circle and continually practice putting off the old man, putting on the new. That's verses 6 through 10. Now we move out to a third ring, a third circle. We must relate properly to fellow believers. That was verses 11 through 17. And then in our last session, we saw we move out even further to a fourth ring, a fourth circle. We must submit to God's authority structures. That's verses 18 through verse 1 of chapter 4. All right, now today we're moving out even further to a fifth concentric circle or a fifth ring, Here it is, our doctrinal point. We should be concerned with outsiders. So we're moving out now. You see how we're moving out from the inner circle to the outer. We should be concerned about outsiders. And that's in verses 2 through 6 here, the verses that we read in chapter 4. How should we be concerned about outsiders? Two ways are mentioned here. We should pray in reference to outsiders, verses 2 through 4, and we should witness to outsiders, verses 5 and 6, in reference to prayer. Verse 2 seems to be about prayer in general. Continue earnestly in prayer. But very quickly, we're moving toward the subject of prayer focused on outsiders in verse 3. Praying for the open doors. Now, in reference to prayer in general, verse 2 says we're to be vigilant or watchful. That is, we're to stay alert. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we are to pray without ceasing. This verse, Colossians 4:2, says that we're to pray without sleeping. Now, let me ask for a show of hands, or maybe I shouldn't. How many of you have ever fallen asleep while you're praying? Look at all these unspiritual people here. Well, we're to be alert when we pray. Now, the idea here in being watchful or vigilant is not that we shouldn't pray when we're tired. That's not the main idea. It's more we should watch out for spiritual drowsiness. Watch out for spiritual drowsiness. For example, the more worldly we are in our attitudes, the more we're going to be spiritually drowsy in our prayer life. We need to stay alert. Be watchful. Now in verse 3, very definitely we're focusing in prayer on outsiders, unbelievers. We're to pray, we read here, for open doors. I want you to notice what Paul does not request here. He requests, you see, that God would open to us a door for the word. He doesn't say, oh, please pray for me, Colossians. Here I am in this prison situation. I'm chained. I can't go further in my missionary travels. I can't stand this. He doesn't ask for that, does he? He's got a higher priority. He asks that open doors for the ministry would take place, that the gospel of Christ would be able to reach out to outsiders. You know, we need to take a lesson right there. So often when we pray, we kind of just pray about ourselves, our problems, our plans, our friends. We need to be concerned about outsiders. We need to reach out in our prayers. Pray for open doors. And it's great to see so many of you praying each day right here for the outsiders that are being touched by this ministry. You know, God loves to answer these kinds of prayers. I remember when our new Jewish neighbors moved in, I prayed for an open door to speak to them about Christ. You can't believe how quickly the Lord answered that prayer. The Lord loves to answer these kinds of prayers. Within a week, you know, we were talking about eternal realities with our neighbors. Now in verses 5 and 6, we see a second way in which we should be concerned about outsiders, namely our witness. Not only our prayers, but our witness. What does it say there? We're to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. We're to walk with wisdom. That is our way of life. Our lifestyle should not raise the eyebrows of outsiders. They are watching. Did you ever notice how the world has a different set of standards in which they judge Christians? For example, on work. At work, if you take a longer coffee break than you should, the outsiders, the unbelievers, while they do the same thing, they look at you and say, well, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to be doing these kinds of things. There's a higher set of standards. We're to walk with wisdom. Don't put a bumper sticker on your car that says Jesus is the way and then drive over the speed limit. We're to walk with wisdom. Now also in reference to our witness, not only walk in wisdom, we're to redeem the time. What does that mean, redeem the time? Make the most of the opportunity. Strike while the iron is hot. Don't lose the windows of time that the Lord gives you with outsiders. The Lord may give you a window of time with your neighbor or a colleague you work with, or some of you traveling when you're sitting on a plane. That may be a window of time that the Lord has given you with that outsider. Strike while the iron's hot. Redeem the time. You know, when there's a death in the family of an outsider, maybe of a neighbor or someone you work with, that's an ideal window of time. That's when these people are more open to hearing about the claims of Christ and how that God is the only one that can really comfort. Take advantage of these situations. Redeem the time. And you notice here then in verse 6, in reference to our witness, our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So I think what we'll do with that, we'll move right into our big practical application for today. We've already had some. But let's make our practical application for today. Put some moral bite into our talk with outsiders, all right? That's the practical application we want to stress right now. Let's put some moral bite into our talk with outsiders. Remember what this phrase means, seasoned with salt. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. As salt prevented the spread of decay in food, so our talk should prevent the spread of moral decay in the culture around us. We need to speak out against abortion and other sins of our society. Right now, it's not politically correct to speak out against homosexuality. But we must, if our speech is going to be seasoned with salt. In the scientific community, it's not politically correct to depart from the Big Bang scenario. But we need to speak out for the God of creation if our speech is going to be seasoned with salt. Notice our talk is to be seasoned with salt, not inundated with salt. You don't come out of your front door and yell over to your neighbor, "Hey, you sinner, you're on your way to hell." No, it's to be normally with grace, but seasoned with salt. The normal pattern of our talk with outsiders, as it says here, is with grace. Free from gossip, free from bitterness, free from dirt, free from bad mouthing, free from needling, free from sour grapes, free from where did you get your driving license? Okay, it's to be normally with grace. But it is to be seasoned with salt. It is to have some moral bite. How much seasoning depends really on the particular outsider you're dealing with. Notice the end of verse 6. The aim is to answer each one as we ought. There's going to be differences of approach here. This is all part of the wisdom that's required for walking with wisdom toward outsiders. Let's be gracious in our talk with outsiders, but we need to put a little bit more moral bite into our conversations with our non-Christian friends and contacts.